Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where the slogan is EDH, community, now, and always. As usual, before I begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jenna the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And if you would like to get your hands on your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat, you can do that over at Inked Gaming, that is INKEDgaming.com. Got two awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look awesome. You and all your friends are going to want them. They're the coolest hip thing for summer 2022, so definitely go on over to Inked Gaming. That is INKEDgaming.com. Links are in the description. Every purchase supports the channel, so it's greatly appreciated. Search up MTG in Quarantine on the website, and off you go. Today's episode of the podcast is another in the Lightning Build series, where I bring amazing content creators and friends in the community on to try to build a deck shell concept, kind of blind date style, using a commander that they don't know about ahead of time, and it makes for a lot of really interesting episodes, and this is going to be another really good one. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce a new guest to the MTGIQ podcast, introducing the Queen of Cardboard herself, Beth. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. So, before we begin there, Beth, do you want to give a quick shout-out to the work you do on your own EDH game stream, as well as the community of Cardboard that you co-curate?
Yeah, absolutely. So I play EDH, and I stream Monday and Wednesday every single week. And we do a Chaos EDH where our chat actually gets to affect the game through channel points. And in addition to that, we also have charity every single month. So we just finished up St. Jude, where we raised over $2,000 for St. Jude, and next month we're going to go live again all month long for Trans Lifeline. And then on top of that, I've been doing the community cardboard with a council of people, different people in the community, different backgrounds, different walks of life, and our goal is to create a safe space for people to have a voice, whether they have one follower or 10,000 followers, that just try to give everyone the ability to talk about the games that they love.
Yeah, very cool. And it's a really great thing y'all are doing out there. And again, giving a quick shout out to a couple of the people who are involved in that with you who have actually been on my show before. Giving a shout out to Bobby Christine as well as Jen from the Filthy MTG Casuals. So big shout out to them. Big ups to you and everybody else who's involved in the community cardboard.
Yeah, we're really excited. And I mean, I could speak to all of our members on the council. They're all really great people that I've played with and worked with for the past year or so. And they are just, I could not be luckier to have such a good group of people helping me.
Oh, yeah, it's a great group of people. And if you out there as a listener hasn't checked this out, you definitely should. And yeah, it's a great place to be. And Keep doing what you're doing.
We're trying.
All right. So back to the Lightning Build here. So again, for longtime listeners of this, you probably know this, but if you're new to the podcast or new to this particular series, I have curated a list of legendary creatures from throughout Magic's long, illustrious history that I feel either haven't gotten enough love or, two, don't really lend themselves to one particular way to build them. I really love my decks where I take legendary creatures that are basically open to interpretation and then try to build some weird, funky theme around them. That's just the way I do it. And I like doing these challenges because we get to walk through the deck building process with the guest on here every time we do an episode and just really kind of see how they would build around this commander that they don't know about ahead of time. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce your commander for the day here, Beth. Your commander is, straight out of call time, and straight out of mono green, Kolvori, God of Kinship. Kolvori, God of Kinship, is a 2/4 god costing 2 green green and is double-sided card, actually. The front side reads, as long as you control 3 or more legendary creatures, Kolvori gets +4/+2 and has vigilance, and has an activated ability costing 1 to green and a tap, and you look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may reveal a legendary creature card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Of course, it has a flip side, which is the Ring Heart Crest, which is a legendary artifact costing 1 and a green. There's so much text on these cards. As the Ring Heart Crest enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Has an activated ability to add green to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast a creature spell of the chosen type or a legendary creature spell. And take it away, Beth.
All right, so the first thing that I like to do when I'm building any deck is I like to put in the shell of lands, which what I'm doing there is I just put in 39 forests, just so I know. I like to be very, it's really a numbers thing for me. I like to know that I'm not going over because I have a habit of wanting to put everything in.
For sure,
And then the second thing that I notice is the fact that it really wants to help legendary creatures. So I went over to Scryfall and I did a search for color green type legendary. And I'm just kind of looking and seeing what is there. And I actually think this would be a good card for a secret commander deck. And I'm looking at possibly doing Ave Progenitor Ooze in a storm build.
Okay.
So I think that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go that way. So I'm going to put in Ave first, Progenitor Ooze. What I really like about that card is it's super scary, but it's only 10 cents. And since I know that I'm kind of wanting a secret commander, which means it's not, it's in the 99, but that's the card that I want to be kind of on the battlefield at all times. I already know that I want to have some things that will bring it back from the graveyard and or keep it on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be looking at other storm things first, because I think that's what I want to go with in the, with that ability, that storm ability.
For sure. Can we quickly read what Ave does so everyone out there knows exactly where you're
absolutely
going?
Absolutely. So Ave is a 5 cost, 2 colorless and 3 green. And Ave's ability is Storm. When you cast a spell, copy it for each spell cast before it this turn. Copies become tokens. And Ave isn't legendary if it's a token. And it enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each other ooze you control. So lots of tokens and very big right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Lots of oozy goodness. And then with the fact that they put Storm in Modern Horizons too, it's kind of crazy to see that again.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm looking at what else we have that has like that Storm ability in green. And it looks like there's only 2 cards that actually do that. And that is also in Modern Horizons with Hunting Pack and Chatterstorm. So what I realize now that I'm looking at these for the first time is that we were kind of rolling around this token ability. So that's going to lead me somewhere else. So I'm going to put in Chatterstorm. And I'm going to put in Hunting Pack for now. But I don't really like it because it's kind of expensive. But it's Storm. So I'll tell you what they both do. So Chatterstorm is my favorite. And I'm pretty sure it's going to stay in. I actually have a Chatterfang deck, so I'm very familiar with this card. It's a 1 and a green. And it creates a 1/1 green squirrel creature token with Storm. And then we have Hunting Pack, which allows us to pay 7, 5 and 2 green, to create a 4/4 green beast creature token with Storm. Personally, I think that's a little expensive, but it's there just in case I have that need that ability. And I see another Storm card. This is actually a little bit older, called Sprouting Vines, and I like this one a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So Sprouting Vines allows us to search our library for a basic card, reveal that card, and put it in your hand. And it also has Storm, and it costs 2 and a green. So that's really a good card.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah. And then we've got Weather the Storm, which has Storm, and it's gained 3 life. So that looks like all the Storm abilities that Scryfall is showing me in green for right now. So that is...
I do agree with that. I can only see the 4 cards with Storm on them when I'm looking at Scryfall.
Yeah. So I'm going to do another thing that I like to do when I'm building new decks, and that is actually to look at the new release. I love to try to get in new cards, so I'm going to look at the Battle for Baldur's Gate and just kind of see what we have out here in green. And I like to do that because I like to kind of test myself every time to see what I might want. And I actually just found someone who I think is going to be awesome for this deck. And it's Jahira, Friend of the Forest. And I like this for 2 reasons. 1, because it's legendary. And 2, because it gives tokens you control tap to add green. So I'm going to put that in my deck as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really pretty card too. Okay. And I'm skipping over the dragons. I think the dragons are cool, but I don't really want to go off of where I'm sitting right now. I know that I'm sitting kind of in a tokens ability. I'm looking kind of at this storm ability. So I'm just kind of seeing what else we have in there.
A lot of really interesting things in green, honestly. You could go
yeah,
so many different
sure.
directions, especially if you're going at with legendaries too, because your commander does pump everything.
Yes, it is really cool. So I'm looking at some things, and I don't really want to put in the Ancient Bronze Dragon. That's kind of just... I could. Obviously, that's a good card that everyone's talking about, but it's just not something I want to stay low to the ground. And that's, when I put in dragons and things, I'm like, this is a dragon deck. And no, and of course you can put in the dragon, but that's kind of where I'm going. I'm just waiting for this to load on me.
Yeah, especially since you're trying to go for a storm and build your storm count, it definitely does help to have a whole bunch of very small creatures.
Yeah.
Things to just toss out there. It's like, okay, I have 5 mana, I can cast 3 spells and then cast Chatterstorm.
Exactly.
Bam, you have storm count 4. You have 4 tokens and 5 mana. So yeah, it's great.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, mono green storm is definitely not something that's been overly supported, but yeah, there's a lot of cool things you can do without necessarily needing the storm mechanic stapled onto things.
For sure. Let's see. There's a good giant warrior that's pretty cool, but we're not really dungeoning, so that doesn't really work for us. But I do see something that's big and cool, which I always like. I have a hard time. I'll see something, I'll be like, ooh, that's cool. I'm looking at the giant ankh hag, which is an insect. It's too expensive for this deck. It costs 8. But it's an 8/8 with trample, ward 2, and it gives other creatures you control trample and ward 2.
Interesting.
Yeah, I definitely like the trample and ward part because it almost feels like it's a creature that gives you that, there's a sorcery that gives you all your creatures trample and infect. It kind of feels like that.
Yeah, Triumph of the Hordes, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So I don't really see anything else in here that I'm like, ooh, have to have it. So I'm going to go ahead and get away from this and go back to my tokens. And for this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to EDH Rec and I'm going to go to themes because they have token themes. And see what they've got in here. And we'll go mono green. And I love this ability. I also love that it's worked into Moxfield because I've noticed, especially the more that you go into Moxfield and do your recommendations, the bigger your deck is as you're going along, the more likely it is that you have better recommendations. And I find them to be really, really good. So let's see. Invoke. Ooh, we'll definitely put in a second harvest.
Mm-hmm. Gain extra tokens, which makes sense with your commander.
Yep. And, ooh, this is something I haven't seen before. Beacon of Creation.
Yes, this is a card that I was sitting on for in my mono green deck for a long time. Back when it was about 50 cents. Now it's about $15. So,
yeah I was looking at that. It's very expensive. But especially in Commander, and especially when you're playing mono green, when you can put in a creature for every forest you have in play, that's really awesome. And I think, too, knowing that I want everything to be a forest, I might actually put in a very special land that I like.
Are you that talking about a lot of people have? Yavimaya Cradle of Growth?
I am. Thank you very much, Yavimaya. Cradle of Growth. So, just in case. Because we might be able to do something. So I think the other thing that we're going to put in is we're going to put in Sylvan Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Green creatures you control get +1/+1, and whenever a green creature enters the battlefield under your control, scry one. And I'm also going to put in Unnatural Growth, which is probably my favorite enchantment to put on the board. And I love enchantments. Like, enchantments are my thing.
They're definitely a popular archetype for a reason, especially in green.
Yeah. I think we also need to have an Avenger.
Yep, makes sense. Especially since we've been playing a lot of lands. Yeah.
Yep. And I think I also want Beastmaster's Ascension.
Yep. Get a lot of quest counters, give all your creatures +5/+5. And fun stuff. Fun stuff to do mono green.
Yeah, for some protection, let's put in Heroic Intervention.
Yep.
I love building decks in my head because it's like, and now I'll just make it whatever I want, and the price doesn't matter.
Yeah, just like Whose Line Is It Anyway, where the where the points don't matter. Yeah, it's always always fun to think about that. I do the same thing, honestly, just thinking about decks like, you know, I kind of want to do that, and then about 10 minutes later, no, that wouldn't work for about a million reasons. But it's fun, right? It's fun to always do mental brewing, because it's always Magical Christmas Land when in your brain, and it's like, it's fun. I enjoy it myself, too.
I think we're going to put in another god, a demigod, and I'm going to put in Renata, Call to the Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Her power is equal to devotion to green. We're going to be playing straight green. And each other creature you control enters with an additional 1/1 counter on it.
Yep. One of my first commander decks, actually, I built around Renata. Yeah. Good memories. Good times. Bad deck. But, nice. It was a terrible deck. But still fond memories of, you know, the early EDH days for this creator.
For sure. And then I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to swing in another ooze, and I'm going to put in Biogenic Ooze.
Oh, yeah.
He costs 5. He ETBs with a green ooze creature, so you're paying 5 to get 2 creatures, and on your end step, you put a 1/1 counter on each ooze you control, and then you can tap 4 and make more oozes.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a nice little ooze sub-tribal theme going on here, sort of.
Yeah, we're getting there. And then I am looking, there's a card that whenever you cast a spell, you populate.
I think it's Selesnya, actually.
I'm just going to do populate and see what I get. Ooh, Druid's Deliverance. That one looks fun. That is just another protection spell. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to you and populate.
Yep, I think I've played that as a fog more than once. In my play group, I play a lot of fogs sometimes, and, you know, you have to get creative.
Yeah. It's actually white that I was thinking of. It's called Song of the World Soul. So I can't use it, but that's okay. All right, so we've got some populate, and let's go ahead and go type and ooze. Let's see, so we've got Ave out there. We've got the biogenic. We've got a bioplasm. Ooh, let's get a biowaste blob. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control a commander, create a token that's a copy of him.
I think it gives all your oozes plus one as well, so it's a nice little...
Yeah.
It kind of ends up going sort of the Skewed Swarm way, just not nearly as out of control as that can get in the right build.
Yeah, Skewed Swarm is very an interesting
It's
card.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of, honestly. For me, anyway.
All right. I think also we're going to put in two more oozes, Predator Ooze and Orin Reef Ooze. So Predator Ooze, when it attacks, you put a 1-1 counter on it. And whenever a creature dealt damage by it this turn dies, you put a 1-1 counter on it. And then Orin Reef Ooze enters, put a 1-1 counter on any creature you control, and whenever it attacks, you put a 1-1 counter on each attacking creature with a 1-1 counter on it.
So you have a little bit of a +1/+1 counter sub-theme going here, as well as Sword of Ooze Tribal, as well as some Legends Matters. This is what I love about the Lightning builds, folks, is that you never quite know exactly where it's going to end up, is that it just ends up as a interesting deck concept. So, this is great.
And we've got another legendary ooze, Slurk, all ingesting.
Yep.
And then, just to make everything ooze and everything, I always like to put in a good Maskwood Nexus.
Okay.
So everything's an ooze. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Just to get there.
You throwing Skews in there, like the OG ooze?
Goos, the OG ooze?
Scavenging ooze.
I don't know. I'm looking. I might.
2/2 ooze, pay green, exile target card from graveyard. If it was a creature card, put +1/+1 counter on Skews and gain one life.
I mean, I think that's a good one to put in there. He looks like fun.
Definitely a nice EDH graveyard hate card.
Yeah, and that puts us at 10 creatures. Right now, so it kind of gives us like this really basic thing. I'm also getting a recommendation to put in Consuming Blob, which I think is great because it's equal to the number of cards in your graveyard, and its toughness is equal to that number plus one, but at the beginning of your end step, you create a green ooze creature. And then let's see. Ochre Jelly is another ooze that we can put in. And he's kind of cheap because what I like about him is that he costs one, right? But you can make him a 6-size ooze or a 1-size ooze. So that'll work well with the storm.
Wow, I've actually never looked through all the oozes here, but there's a lot of interesting stuff. You could easily make ooze tribal work even just in mono green.
Yeah. Another two things that I'm going to add are Nykthos Shrine to Nyx, which is my favorite mono-colored land, and then the Great Henge. And then just for another little bit of flavor, I am going to put Orin Reef the Vastwood in.
Okay.
And as well as Spitting Slime. And Inexorable Blob. I definitely think we've got some really nice ooze down here, some ooze ability. I'm going to put in Gurruk's Uprising to try to give everything trample.
Yep, or draw cards if you need to. It's got that nice modal card that came out a couple years ago. It just works real well for everything.
And this actually reminds me of a card that I put in another deck of mine, my Finn the Fangbearer deck. And I'm going to put in Sereth, the Viper's Fang. She's just legendary, so she works well with Kolvari, but the other thing is that when other tapped creatures you control have Death Touch, and if they're untapped, they have Hexproof. So that helps that protection a little bit that we were talking about. And then the other thing that I want to look for is something to help things get out of the graveyard, and there's not a lot of that in green, but we're going to see if we can find something, because obviously, if we have a secret ooze commander, we want to be able to get it back. So, see what we've got here. Let's see. Okay, so this is an old one, and I'm betting no one's used it, but I'm going to put it in. It's Barishi. And if it's put in the graveyard from play, remove it from the game and shuffle all creature cards from your graveyard into your library. So that's one way to get it back. And then, let's see, we'll do Blessed Respite, which allows you to shuffle your graveyard into your library. I also like the new sagas, so I'm actually going to put in Boseiju Reaches Skyward.
Okay.
I'm surprised that these sagas are, like, so inexpensive.
Yeah, a lot of the sagas from the new Kamigawa set definitely didn't really catch on price-wise. So, yeah, they're very, very cheap. Some reason.
Yeah.
Not sure.
I think
why.
They're still really good, but it is what it is. Let's see.
Hey, it's easier to keep your budget that way, right?
For sure. Oh, there's a new background that I'm looking at that looks really cute. It's called Cloakwood Hermit, and it allows you to put more squirrels into play.
Okay. A lot of people love that. A lot of people love squirrels.
Yeah. I love squirrels. All right. We're going to put in Creeping Renaissance.
Okay. It's the one that returns all the your card type from your graveyard to your hand, right?
Yep, you choose a permanent type, and yeah, and you return all of that to your hand, and you can flash it back once.
Yep. I apparently know all these cards because these are all in my chaff box. That I dig through. So I see these cards on a regular basis. Like, I really want to put that in the deck. I haven't found. Actually, I think I have a copy of one of those in one of my decks. So yeah, it's useful. Useful card.
All right. And then let's do Dwell on the Past. And I think that's where we're going to stop for Recursion.
Okay.
That puts us at 78 main board, including lands, which. Actually, we need to drop some down because I added some. That puts us at 76 main board without including lands. So, yeah. Oh, I'm going to do one more. One more because I saw it and I liked it. Ecological Appreciation. And that's search your library and graveyard for up to 4 creature cards with different names that each have mana value X or less and reveal them. An opponent chooses 2 of them. Put the chosen cards into your library and the rest onto the battlefield.
Interesting. It honestly sounds like a class I would have taken back in college, so. Yeah.
Weird. All right. So, now I'm going to do another thing, and I'm actually going to search EDH Rec, and I'm going to look for Ave as a commander and see what they suggest for her. And I am going to do one more thing that I love for green decks, which is Kodama.
Mm-hmm. Just so much value tree. Stapled onto onto a 6 mana body that just vomits value.
Yep, it's a legendary, so it works with Kolvari as well. And then I'm going to do the second version of that, which is personally a card that I love, but a lot of people don't, which is In Search of Greatness. So, and then I'm just kind of looking. We did get a new ooze in the commander decks from Streets of New Capenna called Mitokic Slime. When it dies, it creates more slimes. And then when those die, they create more slimes.
It's kind of the worm coil engine of ooze.
Yes.
I think I've got the Magic 2011 version sitting in my, again, my long box. I've seen way too many of these cards.
I think I'm going to put in Rona's Monument.
Yep. That's a really nice one right out of Amonkhet. Right there.
Yes.
Makes all your green creatures cheaper and gives one creature every time you cast a creature spell. One of your other creatures gets +2/+2 and trample until end of turn. So real fun stuff right there.
And I'm going to cast another one called Manaplasm, which is a 3-cost ooze. Whenever you cast a spell, Manaplasm gets a +X/+X till end of turn, where X is that spell's converted mana cost.
Uh-huh. That's a card.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then my favorite changeling is Realmwalker. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that in there. Let's see. Let's get out of creatures and go to spells and see what we've got. So we already put in some things for duplicating our stuff. I'm going to put in Vitalize, which is an instant that untaps all creatures you control. And of course, I'm going to put in a Worldly Tutor because we need to be able to find our secret commander.
I mean, your commander does also have a stapled search effect on there as well. So, I mean, that I guess shouldn't be understated either. Is you do have at least the top 6 cards of your library, which, you know, isn't a ton, but if you need to, it's available.
For sure.
But yeah, Worldly Tutor is just the best version of that effect you can get, especially for one mana. It's just so good.
Yes, and then I'm going to put in an instant that I don't see used a lot. I'm going to put in Ram Through. Mm-hmm. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control. And then if it has trample, excess damage is dealt to that creature's controller. And I also love, this is one of my pet cards that I put in a lot of my green decks, Once Upon a Time.
Okay, yeah, just first spell right off the bat sort of thing.
Yeah, I got that the other night, was able to play it first off the bat. And it feels really good to be able to do that.
Trying to remember if that card actually got banned out of Standard. It seemed like it got into trouble in one of the constructed formats, oddly enough, because it just was too consistent or something. Just
funny, I don't know.
Funny little aside, I suppose.
And then I just found a sorcery that allows you to create oozes. So you can create XXX green ooze creature tokens. So we're going to play that one.
Mm-hmm.
Just for that ooze tribal. And then Miming Slime. I like the concept of getting our oozes with Death Touch, since oozes seem kind of poisonous. So I want to put in Nylea's Bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that card because it does a little bit of everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The OG one gives trample. The newer one makes all your creatures cheaper to cast. So, I mean, they're both really good.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to put in some ways to win, because obviously we're kind of winning by combat here. So we're going to put in Overwhelming Stampede, mm-hmm, and Triumph of the Hordes.
Yep, putting in those overrun type effects to make sure you can just go to town on your opponents and run them over with oozes.
Yep.
Or maybe, would they be eaten by oozes? I don't know.
And speaking of overrun, we can put overrun in there just for the fun of it.
Yep. Then you have a third effect on there in case something gets countered, or in case you need something else there too, yeah.
Yep. And I know you told me at the beginning that we didn't need to go through the entire deck, but that puts us at 93 main board. So at this point, what I would do to finish this up would be to probably add in some draw and some land
Some ramp
finding
spell.
ability,
Yeah.
some ramp. Obviously, green does ramp.
Yeah,
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
I'd go through and find those utility lands, maybe a Sol Ring, maybe a Castle Garenbrig, just stuff that's going to help this deck really run nice and smooth to the ground. We're sitting at a pretty rounded curve. Lots of low one cost things, one nine cost. So I think that we have a good chance of really making this nice and fast and easy to play. And honestly, it's not, as commander decks go, it's not hitting too high on the expense list right now. It's about 228. So
Yeah,
that's not the
definitely.
most expensive commander deck
No.
I've ever built in
No.
my head.
Oh man, I mean for me personally, $228, like whoa, that's virtually more than any of my existing decks. But yeah, for a lot of players who put a lot of money in there, it's budget. So, but again, it's what it
Yeah.
is, you know? It's an interesting deck. Thank you so much, Beth, for taking the time to build this deck. I actually never would have thought about Ooze Tribals. This is really interesting to just hear that.
I wanted to kind of see what we could do. I don't know much about Kulvari, but those trying to lean into what she does and looking at both sides of it, because one of my favorite gods is actually Essica, and of course everyone plays Essica for the Prismatic Bridge side.
Yep.
So I wanted to see, what she really was about and what we could do best to kind of help her shine. And I do think giving the legendary creatures, giving her vigilance and getting her a little bit bigger, and then, bringing out more legendary creatures, and then it just kind of grew into, Uzis.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Ooze Tribal, everybody. Definitely something that you probably wouldn't expect when you look at this commander. But again, that's the power of the lightning build. You're never quite sure until you get there. All right. So, yeah, again, Beth, before you head off here, could you give another quick shout out to your EDH stream as well as Community of Cardboard?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at Queen of Cardboard, and you can find our Community of Cardboard at Community of Card and communityofcardboard.com. We've got a Discord server where we are bringing together people who play all forms of cardboard games, and also starting our creator section. So if you would like to be a featured voice in our community, there's that ability too, and there's all the information's on our website.
Sounds really good. It's amazing what y'all are doing, and especially during these times, it's great to really be able to help build everybody up and just be a positive influence in the community.
That's all we're trying to do, is just build a community. I think that the best way to change the world is to do it one small community at a time.
For sure, for sure. All right, if you've liked what you've heard here and you want to hear any of the other Lightning Build episodes I've done in the series, or just any of the episodes I've done in the MTG and Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets such as your Googles, Apples, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Breaker, and many others. I never remember all of them, but if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my work on there. You can also find me on Twitter at @MTGInQuarantine. Found the happy-looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones. You found the right place. I'd like to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who supported me over at patreon.com/mtgquarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where the slogan is EDH, community, now and always. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.